Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. I'm really glad that you're here wherever you are. Like us, you might be looking forward to some very serious weather up ahead. So you're safe today and in the safety of wherever you are. Please call us at 1-800-229-3000. We will be here for 2 hours and love to talk with you and hear what you're going through or hear some testimony of good news, victory, things like that. It means a lot to us. 1-800-229-3000. Now, you could say today that the doctors are in because we've got Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton. Really glad that you guys are with me today. How are you?
Well, we're already giggling over here.
Yes,
so
we are.
I think this is a good start.
And how appropriate is that? Because yesterday I mentioned that it was National Handwriting Day.
Right, and we could not find a pen that worked in the studio.
No, that's right.
We went
that's
through true. Like 10.
All right. And I tell it, we taped another program and I mentioned it then, but I forgot to mention it yesterday. You know, I love going to Goodwill, and a woman bought a frame, and then she took out, I think it was the second show that I shared.
Oh, okay,
this.
Okay.
So I'll just share it here.
Thursday.
Yeah, and then, and so she looks behind the picture of the frame, and there's a little crumpled up thing, and it happened to be one of the original signed with, John Hancock's signature on it. And she ended up selling it for $2.3 million.
Whoa. The Declaration right. of Independence?
But today,
today
is National Belly Laugh Day.
So we need a good laugh.
True. And we use laughter, I certainly believe in humor and laughter. And I hope you won't think that using humor and laughter is a sign of a lack of passion or whatever, but it does a couple of things. Laughter certainly releases a lot of positive, wonderful chemicals throughout your body. And I think, my mom is going to be 96 in May, and I think the amount of laughter in her life has led her to be so bright and alive at almost 96. It also is a great bonding thing. If I'm speaking and I tell a sad story, half the people might cry and half might roll their eyes, oh boy. Mm-hmm. But if you can say something that everybody laughs at, then it's like everybody in the room is in agreement. Like probably the one that I talk about that does that the most is the couple having a glass of wine together, and she says, "I love you." And he says, "Is that you talking or is that the wine talking?" And she says, "No, it's me talking to the wine."
Oh.
Well, everybody just seems to laugh at that in a group. And so we're all in agreement on something. Uh-huh. So it's a bonding thing.
So but what also, you're saying is it's not insensitive. It actually serves a very good therapeutic purpose.
And it also lowers the defensiveness of us. It makes us more open, because all those chemicals, first of all, got pumped. And I think a lot of folks approach any session with a speaker of, what do you got new here? And there's kind of a reluctance. But the use of humor in a good way adds to credibility. Anyway, all of that, I hope you have a belly laugh here on National Belly Laugh Day. I also hope you'll be one of the folks that are already calling us here. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We love this program. Let me tell you why. It becomes the beginning of something that leads to transformation for many people. And we hear it all the time that the advice we gave this person, well, it applied to somebody that was listening. I hope that's the case for you. We'll take a break and come right back with Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jill Hubbard.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and hope and pray that you have a marriage where laughter exists. Well, maybe the laughter has gone out of your marriage and a lot of other things. Intimacy in marriage is coming up, and every couple can benefit from this one way or the other. Whether you just want a little better marriage or you're done, but you want to just see if something might help. Well, it will. I can almost guarantee it. Our percentages are so high. And it's on February 17th through the 19th. That's Friday night or Friday afternoon through Sunday at noon. And it's in Orange County. It's the last time Mylon and Kay will be doing this with us. We'll continue with their content. But it's really going to be a special time. I hope if you've ever thought about, yeah, this would be good for us, that you would do it in February with Mylon and Kay's last time to be doing it with New Life. They are amazing. Speaking of amazing, let's see if Dr. Jill and Dr. Alice have something amazing to say to our
Of course
first
we
call.
Do.
And this is going to be Annie from Crosby, Texas. Hello, Annie. How are you today? Annie, there you go.
I'm
Hi.
Good about myself. Hi.
Good. Yeah.
I have a question. I've been married for about not even a year yet, and his wife passed away and my husband passed away, and then he also has like a 10-year-old little boy, and he's got some property he pays $700 a month on, and our other kids are grown, and I told him, I said, you know, we could sell your property. I said, we could sell my trailer and buy a brand new trailer, and he can walk with it. And he's like, and he doesn't want to sell it. What's the point of paying $700 in on property that the house is not even worth living in?
You
I
know,
don't understand that.
Okay, what a great question, and I'm wondering. The question that you threw out there, what is the point? Have you, in a sweet, loving, caring, compassionate, connecting time, given him the opportunity to tell you why it is or what is the point of keeping it?
Well, he does. His little boy says sometimes he's like, he lost his mom when he was sick, and so he wants to keep that place. But what is the point of keeping a place that's falling apart? And
I think our two doctors are going to be able to tell you or explore some of those points here. Dr. Jill, you start.
Yeah, so Annie, I think you're looking at it from a more neutral, more detached, practical place. And you're looking at the practicality of it. Well, this doesn't make sense. The house is falling apart. You're paying this money. Let's just get rid of it. But I think, right, but that's not the only way to look at things. And sometimes people do things, a lot of times people do things for very impractical reasons mm-hmm. because there's an emotional connection and something has meaning and they're not ready to release it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's paying $700 a month, and then how do you?
Yeah, I know.
So that doesn't mean that little boy is going to get that property.
True. But they're still on the road to figuring that out. And you've been married to him less than a year. I don't think, you know, coming into a new relationship, you want to just change everything in a person right away. I think you have to allow time for the two of you to really integrate your lives, right? And for him to be ready to release things.
Annie, are you in financial straits to a point that $700 a month would really help you all survive?
Yes, it would.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And so there is strong reason behind you wanting to sell this.
Yes.
Absolutely. Your side of it completely makes sense,
sure.
Especially the numbers version of it. And it would seem that your stepson and your husband are holding on to something about the memory of the mom he lost as much too young of an age. Something about the property is holding on to a memory, an attachment to his mom. But what a tough position you're in, because you all need that money and your stepson needs the attachment to his mom.
I have an idea. You called for help and I want to give you specific help. So let's say his name was Bob. Your husband's name was Bob. So you would say this, perhaps. It's just an idea, and we'll let Jill and Alice come up with better ideas. But you would say, Bob, I've been thinking about this, and I want to apologize for something. This property, I've been looking at it as an expense and, you know, from a practical standpoint. And I've come to realize that that property has meaning to you. And I haven't really come to understand that because I've been so focused on, you know, the cost and all that. So I hope you'll forgive me for that. But I really would like to know, what does that property mean to you? And just help me understand you and your thoughts about the property better.
But the sad part is, I have asked him. I'm like, what does that? Why do you want to keep it? I even had him and the little boy, you know, ready to sell it, and then they go and change their mind. I'm like, you know, it's just frustrating. You know what? He can't even decide what we can eat for dinner. That's how bad it is. I'm like, you know what? I almost want to ask him, what is your name? Do you remember what your name is? He can't even make a decision on, like, what do you want for dinner? I'm like, well, why don't you decide? No, I'll ask our little boy. I'm like, I am struggling with this. It's just driving.
Now, how old are the two of you? How old are you?
I'm 56 and he's 51. And the little boy's 10. But he lets a little boy, like, rule. I mean, like, I don't know. It's like he lets a little boy make decisions. And you know what? You can't do that.
Well, obviously, with what you're saying, we have more issues than just a piece of property. So let's start with you about the bigger issues here, Dr. Hubbard, and share with her.
Well, Annie, there's more. The property is just an example, and it's interesting because we attract to people often that have something that we lack, right? And so it feels very complimentary. And for your husband, perhaps it was your decisiveness and being able to step in and make things happen and make decisions, right? For your attraction to him, I don't know. Maybe it was his gentleness, right? Or his sensitivity. And that's something that you admired in him. Well, now, as you're starting to live life, the very things that you loved about each other are bugging you. Because it's like, well, why can't he be more like me? Why doesn't he step up and make a decision? That isn't his strength. And so it's important to see that and to remember the strengths that he does have, right? And then in the relationship, though, you want to encourage him and make it safe for him to come forward a bit, right? Like in your frustration, I could see how it would be really easy to be really upset with him because he never makes a decision, right? But as Steve was describing, if you maybe take it down a notch, use a softer approach with him, and try to meet him where he's at, it allows him to step up and come forward. And then it's really important that you don't over-function for him, right? You want to utilize your strengths, but you don't want to fill all the gaps, because you guys will just get more and more distant here.
Yeah. Alice, what are you thinking here?
Annie, I hope you'll bring your heart to him, leading off with, I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling frustrated, and I think it's coming out sideways at you about some of these specific examples I've been bringing up lately. And I think we could use some assistance so that I bring my heart in the right way that you can hear, and we can talk it through and listen to each other together. And Annie, that assistance might come in the form of Mylan and Kay's book, How We Love, because the comfort circle keeps conversations safer and more structured. And it probably should also come in the form of a counselor who can help you to walk through these things. So rather than getting stuck in specific examples, you learn how to be prolonged listeners for each other with the goal of understanding versus the priority goal of selling the property. And it will probably help you come to more solutions and resolutions if you learn how to hear each other's hearts for a longer period of time.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I cannot recommend enough, or however you would say that, that would make sense if you didn't have ADHD, for you to come to intimacy and marriage together and deal with these things. Mm-hmm. And within a weekend, I think there would be a whole new way of existing in your marriage. If that isn't possible for you, then you really need a marriage counselor now, because it is not uncommon 1 year into a marriage to be very unhappy with certain things that unfold once married. And the sooner you can deal with that and get back together on all issues, the better. Jill, you wanted to say something?
Well, I was going to say something similar. I mean, you're only a year in. It's really good to reset kind of the patterns before they get too deeply ingrained. So, and I know that we offer scholarships for people, so there's perhaps a chance you could do that.
Right. So I want you to hold on. I will send you the book, How We Love, and I hope that that will be of great help to you. Along with, forgiving our fathers and mothers. There may be something there that if you would read that, it might give you some insight into whatever is going on with the old mom relationship and that impacting decisions now. But I think many of us have been where you've been, and it doesn't mean you'll be there in 2 years if you'll take some really great steps now. You took one. I think it's wonderful that you called us, and I hope that this has been helpful to you.
Well, right. And again, to emphasize, Alice, what you were saying, step back from looking at the thing that you want to happen and look to each other and connecting with each other's hearts.
Yeah. All right. 1-800-229-3000. 2 hours. We're right here and would love to speak with you, as we're going to speak with Jamie from Tampa, Florida, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, channel 131, and that's at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Jamie, welcome to New Life Live, and thank you for joining us.
Hey, Steve, thanks for taking my call. I'm actually male, not female.
I am so sorry. I messed that up, and I will send you a one-year Bible for men and every man's Bible, just to try to make it right. If I have any other male-generated titles, I'll send them. Yeah.
Steve, you're not the first one, and you won't be the last one, I assure you.
But I love the name Jamie.
Speaking of gender. Well, speaking of gender, I have several friends who are quote-unquote non-binary, which is a thing where they one day decide that they don't have a gender anymore, which I'm pretty new at. But how do I love them without getting into an argument and creating World War III? Because I know that's wrong. You know, I know that when God gave us a gender, he gave it to us for a reason. I know this. But all of a sudden, they're deciding, oh, well, you know, I don't have a gender anymore. So, and another confusing part about that is, instead of saying he likes New Life, you say they like New Life. And when I think they, I think of more than one person in a room.
Sure.
So,
well,
how am I to love?
Great question. Music's playing, so we have to go to a break, and we'll help you right after this. I think it's an issue a lot of people deal with, and I think that we've got the solution here for you. Anybody else, whatever you're struggling with, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton. And they are just two of the best, wisest people I've ever worked with. And today might be the best day for you to get a start on a different direction on an issue or all of life. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we're talking with Jamie, and he has some non-binary friends, and they don't want to be identified as male or female. And let's start with you, Alice, then Jill, and then I've got a couple of thoughts here after that.
Jamie, thank you for the thoughtful question and that you care so much about these friends to figure out how to love them well. And a lot of my answer is informed by a counselor whose name is Preston Sprinkle, and he has worked particularly with this population from a Christian perspective, and he's very biblically informed in his approach. And the first step in loving a person well that we have disagreement with is believing they have a story that has led them to their current position. And so more than just a decision of today I'm non-binary, there is so likely a story with a whole lot of emotional injury to it and perhaps physical and sexual injury to it. And when we are under trauma, our personalities can splinter. And we can lose a God-given part of ourselves. And so although the sexual fact of who they were born to be can be harmed by traumatic experiences, and there can be a disconnection between one's experience of their gender and their biological sex. And so I take it on a case-by-case basis. For instance, if my child came to me and said, I'm no longer a boy, I'm a girl, and they were young, maybe even an adolescent or a teen, I would not be likely to call them by their gender that they seem to be choosing. I'd be very cautious about going that direction because gender dysphoria is often resolved when it appears in adolescence. I would try to understand the story that led my child to be questioning their gender versus their biological sex. If I were dealing with a friend who was a Christian or who was a non-believer, I might be more likely to prayerfully consider using gender pronoun hospitality. And that idea comes from Preston Sprinkle, where he decides sometimes he will use the language that the person prefers in order to first try to love and understand their story and then decide when to share opposing truth down the road with them after relationship has been established and strengthened.
Yeah, I think your source there is the best. He has a podcast, and when Misty and I presented at one of our New Life gatherings on this issue, we played an interview he did with a woman who was transitioning and then saw that it wasn't good. She saw some amazing things that others did not, such as that everybody over on the trans site were saying things almost identical to the anorexic site. Mm-hmm. And there was this social contagion and desire to be the worst and all of that. But Jill, what are you thinking here?
Well, I was considering the parallels with eating disorders as well. And I like the idea, though, of the fact that you have an ongoing relationship with them. I think it's fair to ask in terms of them wanting you to call them a certain thing, to let them know that you will try to be sensitive to that, but you're probably going to mess up. And could they also be sensitive to the fact that this is a paradigm shift for you? And it is something, you know, because you care about them, you want to be sensitive to them, but you don't fully understand it. And I think it's okay to say, I don't fully understand it, but I love you and I want to understand you. That being said, I think remembering that, yes, they have that woundedness and that part of how they're dealing with it is they are rejecting parts of themselves, thinking that they're going to make themselves whole, but they're not. They're actually rejecting parts of themselves. And I see so many people with eating disorders that live from the neck up. They don't look in mirrors, and they mm-hmm. reject their body. Mm-hmm. Or trauma victims who have been sexually abused that reject their bodies. And part of the healing is to get them to re-engage with their bodies, to accept their bodies, and to integrate that. And so your friends are on a journey. I would be praying for them
yeah.
wholeheartedly.
And here's another thing. Here's one more thing. I have found a way that you don't ever have to use a pronoun, but you have to think before you say something. You really don't ever have to use he or she in a conversation if you think about it and phrase your statement or question in a different way. It just doesn't have to be. And I think you really can avoid the issue of, by rather than saying, hey, he, meaning she, the other person, he didn't eat that. I think you could think it through and go, you know, I was disappointed when so much food was left on the plate. You know, that there's just a way to do it, but you have to think it through. Secondly, you love them the way Jesus loves you. Their problem is not the unforgivable problem. They're just like all of us, and I've never seen so much confusion about right and wrong, morality, ethics, all these things. And so I think they're just being what society does. It's opened the door to so many options. And if you're not a believer and you're not secure in those beliefs, you know, you're just kind of doing what you're getting paid to do. We're not to judge non-believers. We're to judge believers. If we see a believer doing something, we need to confront that after we have a conversation. It doesn't have to be a confrontation. But in this case, just care for them and see their hearts as kind of victims of this world. We'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery prayer devotional, the New Life journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and the person that daily puts the new in New Life Live, Larry Sonnenberg, is sitting right here. What do you have for us today?
Wow,
why are you guys laughing
that
at that other?
You always other than, give him a great title announcement. I can't wait to hear what
I
you'll say next
of
time.
That. The new in New Life, Larry.
Well, this is National Belly Laugh Day, isn't that
yeah,
what I was told?
That is
yeah.
correct.
Well,
and there they are laughing from the belly. But Larry, they're not laughing at you.
Oh, no.
I was a little bit.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
What do you have?
I've got a whole bunch of testimonies, but I'm only going to read one. Just every man's battle's coming up. We're going to do an online one day. I forget the date.
February 4th.
4th. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Yeah.
And this is what a man named Jim said. Before this weekend, I'd never given much thought to the directive that we're called to love our wives as Christ loved the church. I knew that Christ gave his life for us and took all the pain and suffering that was meant for me, but I never put two and two together that I'm called to do that for my wife. Because of this weekend, I'll be going back to my wife, ready to bear her pain and minister a message of unconditional love to her in the hopes that I can help to restore her sense of peace, safety, and acceptance. My biggest regret is it took 27 years for me to get here.
Oh my goodness. There is the goal of transformation. He thought one way, and now he thinks a totally different way, headed a different direction.
Yeah.
Would you send that to me, Larry? I have to post that somewhere. That's amazing. It really is. It's wonderful.
All right. I'll do that. But, folks, it's why we seek your support. What is better than somebody's life being turned around and they're reconnecting with God, the Holy Spirit, and seeing mm-hmm. that life is different and looking through a different lens and not getting caught up in worldly ways and seeing God as the number one thing in their lives? I mean, that's what we do here. That's what the Holy Spirit does through us, I should say. And we love what we do, but it takes money to keep it going. There's all these aspects of life in ministry, and so we need your help. However you can do it.
Yeah, we do. And if you send a gift of any amount, we will send you every believer's thought life, our way of saying thank you. It's the new book. And I have to tell you, I think it might be the best book I've co-authored with anyone. And I think if you're looking for substance, oh my goodness, there is so much substance there. Not just little surfacey ways to handle our thought life. We've got some of those. You need strategies, but also how to go deeper at the source of the struggle, that whatever you're having, whether it's worry, anxiety, shame, or very commonly lust. It's there, and it's our way of saying thanks. And if you join Club New Life, we will give you the choice of the one-year Bible for men or the one-year Bible for women. And I have to say, rave reviews on Misty's Bible. Okay, and then the other men are reading mine. So it really is an amazing, she did such a great job there. But that's our way of saying thank you. Anything else, Larry, you want to add?
Well, yeah, I do. Just the last thing is we seek this support just to make sure we can continue to go do bigger and better things. But the year-end giving was a little bit of a lack for us. And we would surely appreciate if you could give now rather than later in the year, just to help mm-hmm. us get going. We want to get this year started really strongly.
Yeah, just that 300,000 downfall, just a little bit below where we need to be. And what I'm saying is, it's actually a big number that we were not counting on. But it's been tough for a lot of organizations with inflation and different things that have happened. So if you can help us, please do. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Larry mentioned Every Man's Battle. It's online February the 4th, and I'll be there all day participating in Every Man's Battle. I hope you'll join me. Then on the 17th, I'm out there in Orange County with Mylon Kay for the final intimacy in marriage that they will do with us. We'll have other people do it, and we'll still use their material, but it'll be a special time. Restore is in Orange County on 24th of February, and then Lose It for Life online March 18th. And our Courageous Parenting series continues with Transforming the Relationships with Your Adult Sons and Daughters. That's April the 1st, and we're going to do Emotional Freedom on April the 15th, a day where sadness often is the emotion overriding everything, as taxes are due on the 15th. It's perfect, perfect timing. But why do we do these? We're a transformational ministry, and we've designed these not to make you feel better or not to make you cope better, but to help you go through, get beyond whatever it is that you're dealing with, and to be completely transformed. That's what we want, transformation. If you can help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Larry.
Okay.
All right, let's go back to the phones, and let's begin with here. Sue has called us at 1-800-229-3000, Frisco, Texas, and she's listening to it as a podcast, and anybody can. You can just go to your podcast provider and sign up for New Life. Hi, Sue. How's it going today?
Hi, I'm well on this rainy Tuesday. How are you?
Doing all right. Yes, indeed. Thanks for asking.
Awesome. The reason I'm calling, I'll try to keep it as short as possible. I have been married for 8 years, and this has been an ongoing issue in our relationship, when there is a problem, my husband will go silent. He will, I mean, it is, he has given me the silent treatment for up to 3 weeks at one point. Early on in our relationship, until I put a real stop to it at that point. And every once in a while it pops up, and it'll be for a shorter amount of time, days. But do you have any tools that I could use with him when this happens? Because I go, you know, I kind of withdraw myself when he does that. So I tried to get him to go to counseling. We did it one time, and he won't go back. So I don't know how to bring resolution to things.
Yeah, I would say a pitchfork to get him moving here, but probably not appropriate. Alice, what are you thinking? She's asking for tools, ways to re-engage. What do you think?
So let's identify the success you already had. How did you help him go from 3 weeks, what a painful amount of time, to a couple of days?
Well, I told him that I was not going to tolerate it. So, you know, he was like, I said, I realized that you didn't get to this age and that it's going to be an easy change for you not to do it. So I have seen progress. Which is why I've not been too eager to, you know, put the kibosh on anything. And I tell my friends, like, 95% of the relationship is fantastic. But it's when the 5% rears its ugly head, it's really awful.
And do you have a guess as to the times he's triggered into silence? What has happened on your part, and what is his emotional reaction to what's happened between the two of you?
Well, I can give you an example. The latest thing happened Friday evening. We were out to dinner, and he had his social media pulled up, and I look over, and there is a swimsuit goddess on his social media up on the stories. And so, you know, I didn't say anything then. I bring it up in the car, and I'm like, you know, I'm not okay with that, and to which he replied that it was, he didn't look at that, it was only for the memes that the site puts out. And I said, well, still, I'm not okay with that. You know, I feel like it's very disrespectful to me. I tolerated a lot of that stuff in my first marriage, which ended in divorce, because he then took it further to cheating, which, you know, I'm not as tolerant these days as I was when I was younger.
Yeah. Okay.
But at the same time, I don't want to just end things, you know.
Right. So his response to that, where you explained it was just to not talk to you?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, well, there were a couple of issues, and I know your show is short, but
that's okay.
You know, he gets mad that he gets confronted. Mm-hmm. Is probably the root thing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to a break, and we will discuss this at the break. Give you the best that we have when we come back. Some of you have situations. Maybe it's not over an inappropriate photo or something, but other situations that causes the other person to back away. Maybe. I'm going to ask and pray that Dr. Alice and Dr. Jill will be brilliant during the break to come up with what can you do that could work. 1-800-229-3000. Another hour and 15 minutes. We're going to be here for you, I hope. If you've ever thought about calling, this might be the day. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking with Sue, and it is so common that people that don't like confrontation or dealing with something, they don't have any other response than just shut down and separate, back away, and avoid. So how about we start with you, Jill, what might be helpful for her to inspire him to re-engage?
Well, Sue, when people often shut down and use the silent treatment, one of the things is it's a way of taking their power back because they are feeling powerless in a moment or they're feeling angry. Often, when we share what is upsetting to us or what we don't like as women, often people can hear it as criticism. Even when you're not being critical at all, you're trying to tell him what hurts you. And so I think when you find that he's getting triggered, one, he's mad, he doesn't know what to do, and so he takes the power back by being silent. And I think to lean in, maybe give a little space and lean in and ask him and say, I get the sense that as I'm sharing what's upsetting to me, that you somehow might be feeling criticized or shamed in the moment. And to let him know that you're wanting to, I say this all the time, you're wanting to connect with his heart. You in no means want to criticize him. And would there be another way that you could share what's hurtful to you without hurting him in the process? So bring it into...
And he does say the delivery. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. I've asked him, let me know what that means. What does that look like? And he doesn't have an answer.
Okay, so Sue, you said to us that in your first marriage, things happen, and you aren't going to let that happen again. I can even hear it in your voice. You're determined to set those boundaries and to let him know what is not okay. That is all right and good. But in that, there's a lot of power behind that, and so in your strength, and a lot of times when we're trying to do something new, we come on stronger than maybe the other person can receive. So you have to read your audience and how does he receive things. When you come across really strong and firm like that, he doesn't receive it well. So you're going to have to find another way. And it doesn't mean that you're wrong in what you're saying. It's finding another way so that he can receive it. Right? That's the goal, because you want him to do something differently. You want him to have compassion for you. Instead, he gets defensive for himself because it's like you're taking something away from him.
All right, Alice, what do you think?
I hear you.
Yeah, I think it's such good advice, and how different it could be to, take three breaths, and I love it that you waited, and then to say, I want to share with you how something made me feel, and it really hurt. That's just a great, wonderful approach versus here's what you did. Alice, what are your thoughts here?
Sue, think about the people that shamed him. Mm-hmm. Think about his family of origin. And hold the idea that he's probably hypersensitive to anything that feels negative about him, more than because of you, much more because of those people who shamed him. And so he takes some negative that you legitimately bring to him, and it is just blown up in his head and in his heart. And so he's protecting himself in the silence. And I would have you ask him stories about that, about the people that did that. And then I want you to bring to him the idea that you are in your own growth and recovery. And so you're open to tenderizing your approach, and you're willing to look at strategies of how to do that. And so first and foremost, it's about remaining humble and pointing out your own imperfections and shortcomings you have, apart from these kind of conversations, and inviting his feedback about those other areas of your character or your interactions with each other, and keeping that invitation open. And then it's strategizing how you both want to receive comfort from one another when you're in withdrawal mode, and come up with a couple. We need some physical touch, but we can't talk when we're both feeling like that. Or we need space for a day, and then we'll come back and check in with each other. So strategize before it happens the next time, so that you can then attempt to use those strategies when you both are in withdrawal mode.
And also, I would just say, if there's, let's say this happened today, and you shared with you your current feelings, you tried not to react out of past hurt. It was all current. I really think after that conversation, the more affirmation of him, the relationship, appreciation, pointing out the good things, noticing. I think that is important in trying to reduce the amount of time there. I wish you could go to Intimacy in Marriage in February, because these are the kinds of things that I think when people come, they're just no longer valid options anymore. It's just so clear the damage that it does and the good things that can come when it's avoided. Alice, looks like you want to say something there.
Steve, because of past relationships I had, my husband got punished for other people's infidelities. And if this man is a decent man who is very likely faithful, consider, Sue, whether or not he's receiving punishment for what your ex-husband did to you. And you might bring that to his attention in the form of an apology.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to send you the book that we're featuring here and giving to people that give as a way of saying thanks, Every Believer's Thought Life. What else do you guys think would be good? How about Worthy of Her Trust? I think that
definitely
would really help him. And to you, let me send you Take Your Life Back. And it's really a book that originally was all about codependency and working my side of the street. I think that that might be helpful. We'll send that to you. Glad you called. We have a board full of calls, and if you hang on, I will guarantee you we're going to get to your call in the next hour. So please do. There are only five, and we'll get there. That'll be my challenge, and I know that Jill and Dr. Alice will cooperate and help me get there. I mentioned the workshops. They're all there. The next one, February 4th, Every Man's Battle. But there's really something for everybody, where it's whether it's Intimacy in Marriage, February 17th, Restore for women who've been hurt by a man with sexual integrity problems. That's the 24th of February. Online, Lose It for Life. Do it once a year, March 18th. Courageous Parenting, April the 1st. Talking about that relationship with adult children, and then Emotional Freedom, April the 15th. We're a transformational ministry, and anybody that is a supporter of us, you are part of every single transformation that occurs through New Life. We are grateful to God that He uses us in these transformations of people's lives, marriages. Really, it just astounds all of us when we get to be a part of that. Now, Proverbs 17:22 is appropriate for our national day. It says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. Oh, isn't it, though? We've seen all the studies of how being downtrodden releases just everything negative that we can release within our bodies. But a crushed spirit dries up bones. Mm-hmm. Laughter is a gift from God. It's a healing gift from God. I would just invite you, find the sources of healing, laughter that you need. If you are really discouraged, distressed, we want to help you. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you don't call us, call somebody. Reach out, connect, so that you can have a spirit that works for you and not against you. Thank you, Dr. Jill. Thank you, Dr. Alice. If you want to join us next, 1-800-229-3000. See you then. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.